You're listening to Boat Radio. I'm Mike McDowell, and this is The Wheelhouse. My guests today are the skipper and two crew members from an epic sailboat voyage that's soon to be the subject of a documentary film. The Beloved Stranger, 40 feet in length, set sail from San Francisco with seven people, a dog and a cat on board. She was bound for Cartagena, Colombia, where the crew planned to help one of their number build a small hotel. Well, that hotel, the Ritmo del Rio, opened for business just a couple of weeks ago. Meanwhile, footage shot during that five-month, 4,000-mile voyage has been edited into a movie. Described as part punk rock nature documentary, part raw and uncensored travelogue, the film The Beloved Stranger also boasts a soundtrack written by members of the crew during their trip and recorded just these past few days back in Northern California. Today we will hear from crewman Devin and Anthony, and first, skipper Eric Mahood.
So I don't know, when I first got the boat, we were planning on cruising. I don't know, we were kind of just shooting around ideas, and then one of our crew members who's on the boat for most of Mexico decided to buy a property in Colombia. And so when he did that, that kind of gave us like our firm destination. We're gonna sail down to our buddy's property in Colombia and try and help him out with his project.
If I may, this is Anthony. It was also, I think, like just all of us in this kind of extended friend group that we had were learning how to sail at the Cal Sailing Club in Berkeley. And, you know, none of us really, I mean, I had a year of experience. You had like
less.
Yeah, less than a year of experience sailing. Devin had like almost none.
Yeah.
So we were all just kind of wrapped up in the dream of doing that. And like, you know, the prospects of going on a trip like that, of just jumping straight into that length and that style of a cruise was just like, I mean, it was intimidating, but it was also something that we all wanted to do and just threw ourselves at.
The project in Cartagena, down in Colombia, was to build a hostel. Is that right?
Yeah. The property is about 3 hours from Medellin, and so it's a little bit inland, but Cartagena is the best place to dock up down there.
And Eric, do you own The Beloved Stranger?
I did own The Beloved Stranger, and after that trip, I cruised it up to the East Coast and sold the boat.
Okay, that's a bit sad. It's a bit sad that it's gone. Did it go to somebody you know?
I bought a second boat, if that makes you feel any better.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad, yeah. I feel a certain comfort in knowing that one of you at least owns a boat. But did any of you have jobs or families or, you know, other responsibilities that you were leaving behind when you set off on this epic voyage?
This is Devin speaking. I quit my job to do this. I was definitely not enjoying it. 40 hours a week grind and needed to get out of it.
This is Eric. I quit my job a couple of months before the trip so I could work more heavily on the boat.
This is Anthony. I was in school at the time, so I was only kind of on it for the winter holidays. But also, I think the biggest thing for me was my dad got sick right before I left. You know, he got cancer, and he was a big sailor back in his day. And I wanted to do, I mean, I was pretty torn, but he was all for me still going, you know, just told me to go. So I did. He's much better now, but at the time it was really nerve-wracking.
Sure. I mean, I guess you must have been thinking at some point I might have to hop on a plane and fly home urgently, right?
I did do that, but yeah, he wanted me to go.
Sure. And he's in remission now.
Yeah, he's doing great.
Well, I'm very glad to hear that. So what are your trades, your professions? I mean, you've got some sailing experience. You were all learning to sail. What about building experience? I mean, I guess anybody can labor on a building site. We've all done it, I suppose. But I mean, are you programmers, doctors, surgeons, auto mechanics, soldiers?
This is Devin speaking. I went to school for biology and did some environmental consulting and stuff like that. Now I'm a musician.
Right. Your parents must be so pleased.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So, I mean, when you decided to head to Colombia, it was always going to be by boat, right? It was always going to be on the boat. It wasn't like we're going down to Colombia, we could drive or we could fly.
I think it was all about the journey. You know, that the Cartagena just kind of gave us a goal and an end goal to keep us, you know, motivated and to like really spur us to go and do it. But I think it was all about just getting on the boat and going.
And you knew each other really well.
Not exactly. I mean, us three, we knew each other pretty well. Yeah. But we had two crew members that no one had met yet.
Yeah, Eric and I actually like grew up together. We went to middle school and high school together down in Southern California.
Hot Sauce was my roommate in college. And then there were two Kiwis that got on the boat just through living in the Berkeley Marina.
Incidentally, in the background, that's St. Bartholomew, the huge church in Sawyer in northern Mallorca, near where I live. It's calling the faithful for evening prayers. Please don't be put off or start praying. So how long did it take you to get yourselves organized and get going? I mean, did you just get on the boat and go, or did you put a lot of thought into the logistics and what you would need and equipment and all that sort of thing?
Towards the end, the last few weeks, we were definitely working pretty hard on the boat. I remember one day when we took everything out of the boat, did more or less like an inventory of what we had, and then provision based on that.
It was in pretty solid shape.
There were things that we could have done more of. You know, we had no solar panels leaving San Francisco. We had no way to generate energy aside from the motor, which at the end of the day, when our motor eventually died or seized, turned out to be quite an issue. You know, we were living by candlelight, couldn't listen to music.
Take me then through that first day or two. Eric, maybe you can handle this one as well. I mean, how did it go and how well do you remember it?
I remember it actually pretty well. Remember the first day, it was pretty slow going, even like before we got outside of the Golden Gate Bridge. But I remember this pretty awesome feeling of just, you know, the weeks beforehand being so overwhelmed with, okay, the animals have to get their vaccinations. We've got to do this, that, and the other on the boat. You know, just trying to tie up everything on land before we left. And then finally we leave and all of a sudden, boom, there's like nothing to do but sail. And that was a pretty awesome feeling because, you know, just being so overwhelmed by the trip and I don't know, there's a lot of pressure going into it. And then finally you get into it. And it, for me at least, it was just a sense of calm. I loved it.
For me, this is Devin speaking. I have a really distinct memory of, you know, like setting out and, you know, having this like great feeling and like kind of having this plan, like, all right, we're gonna like take it easy and like stay close to the coast and play it safe. And then in the morning, we got some good wind at night. And then we just woke up in the morning, like, oh, right, okay, so we're 40 miles off the coast. And it was pretty exhilarating. Just, like, after that, it's just, you know, no rules, no limits, no anything. So it was really cool.
Forgive me, but, you know, I can imagine what would have happened if my much younger self set off on a five-month boat trip from San Francisco to Colombia. I would probably have been drunk and maybe a bit stoned a lot of the time. I mean, is that how things were? I mean, at least to begin with.
That's exactly how things were.
That is an understatement.
There's always someone partying and like, it's pretty extravagant for a while then.
Yeah, cheap weed, booze, and Mexican painkillers, man. That defined most of the trip when I was on the boat.
Yeah.
There was one night, I think, leaving Acapulco that we ate a bunch of Tramadol, this Mexican painkiller. Me and one of the Kiwis were up on shift in the middle of the night. It was great wind. I don't know, it was like 12 or 15 knots, and we were flying the asymmetrical spinnaker and just cruising along, and I'm just retching over the side from these pills, just retching the whole shift, and everyone's like, "Man, are you all right?" And I'm just like, "I feel great."
I remember that. I was right next to
it. It was just the best. Yeah, that was definitely a big part of the trip.
Was the boat tidy?
You know, I think I pushed the crew, this is Eric, in that direction. But that being said, it's damn near impossible to keep a boat with seven dudes, a dog and a cat tidy. Yeah. If you're cleaning the dog shit off the deck on a regular basis, I think we're doing all right. That being said, you know, there were several storms at night where it's like, all right, someone's got to run up on deck and douse the Jenny. And someone runs up on deck and they've got shit on their shoe, you know, and they don't realize it until they've tracked it all the way around the boat, you know. And then we're just hoping for a rogue wave to clean it off. And
that deck was in pretty bad shape by the end of that.
It sounds like seven guys have ruined a boat. You must have hit, at some point, you must have hit some fierce weather. I wondered, how did you cope? I mean, did you work well together as a team, as a crew?
It depended on the time and the trip. I remember kind of being down below, and I was hearing Devin and Cowboy, who hadn't really been sailing as much, kind of talking back and forth, like, do we got this? Do we got this? I don't know. It's picking up, but I think we got it. All right, we got this. All right, man, I don't know if we got this.
I feel definitely by the end of it, we knew exactly what to do.
In retrospect, great times. During those moments, though, I'm not sure if we would have said the same.
Yeah, I really thought I was going to die the first the first storm. I was like contemplating my own mortality and stuff like that. But
it genuinely sounds like you've had a fairly profound experience. There's a picture on the website, I think, and it's a boat, and she's lying on her side.
Yeah, that's our boat.
So that is the Beloved Stranger. So what the hell happened there? Who was driving?
I don't know. I guess it all started with this conversation that had kept coming up where we want the perfect day on an isolated island, and a beautiful beach where we can just have a bonfire, get wasted, pass out, you know, just have this idyllic day where we do nothing but hang out on the beach, you know. And we saw a pretty nice beach at high tide, of course. But I think at that time we didn't realize the severity of the tides on the Pacific side of the Panama coast, which are pretty ridiculous.
Yeah. All we were using to navigate was a chart plotter, and it was pretty ambiguously marked on the chart plotter, like with no depth sounding. And we just went for it. And this was at a time in the trip where we were all kind of like bickering back and forth and kind of, you know, in lower spirits. We really wanted to find this like paradise. We were pretty desperate for it at that point. So we went for it.
Which, yeah, high tide was gorgeous location, beautiful yeah. Little anchorage, no swell. But as it turns out, we probably had 8 to 10 feet of water under our keel when we pulled in there. And at the low, low tide, which was, I don't know, maybe 12 hours after pulling in there, the water just kind of slipped from under us, and there we were on the beach. A good moment that I do remember is our pretty hungover Kiwi buddy, Tommy Boy, kind of stumbling into the cockpit. And at this point, the boat is well heeled over. We're all very aware of what's going on, and we're very aware that we're stuck. And he had just woken up from a long night and dives headfirst into the maybe, I don't know, 3 to 4 feet of water that we had underneath the boat. And he just dove straight first into the water and pretty seriously hurt his neck, which he was complaining about for a few weeks.
For the rest of the trip, really. Really, that was, you know, that was probably one of the hardest days of the entire trip. We all woke up, you know, hung over to the boat on its side. And then we went and sat on the beach. It was, you know, hot. We were in Panama. We were just getting eaten alive by these biting chitras. So we were just, you know, watching the boat from a distance, getting eaten alive by these flies. We tried to, like, light a fire to keep them away, and that was a pretty low point.
Yeah, seeing that we were looking for paradise, that was about as wrong as that could have gone.
Yeah, the service, right?
You know, I'm interested in you know, your friendships and your relationships. I'm presuming that all of the friendships survived, right? You're all still good mates.
Yeah, you know, we've all kind of scattered a bit. Us three are still living in the Bay Area. Cowboy's back at home in South Carolina. Jesse's been in Colombia this entire time. Jesse has hot sauce. Tommy Boy, he's back in Australia. Allie, he's in Washington, yeah. So, we're all kind of scattered a bit, but, we all keep in touch. And it's pretty unavoidable when you have that many strong personalities. I'm pretty confident that each one of us is a character, really, which is partly why I got along and partly why we're able to do this. But it also led to a lot of fighting.
And what about the dynamic? I mean, were there clear dominant personalities right from the start? I mean, you mentioned that you're all quite strong-willed individuals, but no matter how many strong-willed individuals there are, when you're sailing a boat, every rock group got to have its Bono, right? So, Eric, was that you as skipper?
Not as much as I think you would think. I don't know. For example, I think it's okay to talk about is Jesse Hot Sauce and Alistair, one of the Kiwis, definitely did not get along. And that was pretty apparent. And I remember one night, I think I was awake for all this, but I stayed in my bunk to try to avoid the confrontation. We lost a halyard to the top of the mast, right? So they decided it'd be a good idea to go up at night, which, that was their own decision making. And Alistair was hoisting Jesse up the mast, and I'm not sure what it was, miscommunication or what, but Jesse felt like him being aloft and Alistair not really listening to his instruction that was a pretty big moment for Jesse. I think that's kind of when Jesse decided he really didn't want to be on the boat anymore. And, I kind of felt like I had to deal with that, which was pretty tough for me. I was trying to just kind of avoid the situation, let it play out by itself. But yeah, there was definitely some conflict, and it kind of came and went.
Sure. But, overall, it was a positive experience, right?
Oh, overall, yeah.
Yeah, for everyone.
Yeah, and one thing that I like to say, it's really high highs and some pretty low lows, Either, you're on top of the world or, it's about to come crashing down on you. Overall, it was life-changing, life-affirming.
Sure. So you made it. You made it to Cartagena, and then you drove inland. And did you build Jesse's hostel?
We helped. I've been down two or three times now. Devin's been down twice. And every time we go down there, we help out in the ways that we can. But
he's just opened up.
Yeah, they just actually opened.
Just opened for business this year.
It's called Ritmo del Rio in San Rafael, Colombia. It's a challenge building stuff down there. And, it was kind of the progress at first is a little slow going. It looks beautiful now. It's really, really impressive.
So it's called Ritmo del Rio.
Yeah.
And it's in San Rafael, Colombia. So we can find that online, right? Let's talk about the movie. Which one of you shot the footage? Or was it a joint effort? And what gear were you using? Is it all GoPros?
So, we all did a bit of filming. Cowboy, who's not here right now, he definitely did the most filming and really kind of busted all our chops for shirking it at, times where maybe it was more fun to not have the camera or we were feeling low and didn't really want to do anything. So he was really good about that. We had three cameras.
And there was always going to be a documentary. That was always a plan.
Yeah. Right before we left, we set up a Kickstarter and our friends and families generously backed us and we were able to purchase the camera and then also a portable audio recording device.
The film is described on your website as part punk rock nature documentary, part raw, uncensored travelogue. I mean, did any of you have any particular interest in marine animals before you left or any type of wildlife? I think, Devin, you mentioned studying biology, but...
This is Anthony speaking, and traveling with these two guys next to me right now is ridiculous because, I've traveled with Devin, not only on this trip, but also as a band, we've toured the country. And it's they will tell you everything about anything you want to know when it comes to flora and fauna, man.
And when this thing comes out, I'm sure all the nature shots will be marred by my excited squealing, yeah. Oh my God.
Girlish laughter.
Are you filming this? It's the pilot whale.
Well, so although we've, partly led by my questions, we've kind of made the trip sound like Jackass goes on holiday. In actual fact, you're a pretty well-read, intellectual bunch of guys, and this, and from a, you know, from a wildlife point of view, just, you know, never mind a travelogue, just from a wildlife point of view, this film would be worth watching, right? Are you planning a theatrical release at all for the film? I mean, obviously not on a grand scale, but in smaller indie art house theatres.
We would love to do some screenings, and we're definitely going to try to do that, especially around here in the Bay Area. We're also planning a, once this thing gets made, we're going to do, hope, like a sailing tour, doing some screenings up and down the coast of California and like sailing between locations. Definitely hoping to release it in as many places as we can.
So you are, well, at least two of you now are professional musicians.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you've recorded the soundtrack. Did you write the soundtrack as well, or have you recorded other people's music?
We all wrote together while we were on the trip.
Most of it was written on the trip.
So it's like, it's not only a crazy party on a boat for 5 months and a wildlife tour of the Pacific coast of Mexico, but it's also an album being created as you travel.
Exactly.
That's a really good way to put it.
That's, I mean, a big part of this project is like where we did this crazy trip, we traveled, and we filmed it all, so you can kind of go on the trip with us, but then there's this added aspect of like reflecting on the trip as we go, and you kind of get that interpretation, you get like a different window into what it felt like.
There's definitely a lot of things that I would say in a song, but probably wouldn't say to somebody out loud, you know, so.
And the music reflects the high highs and the low lows, yeah?
yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah. In the times where it was a crazy fun party the whole time, you know, the songs reflect that, and then, you know, some pretty lows, and the songs reflect that too.
Well, it sounds amazing. It really does. It sounds like you've had the most extraordinary and life-changing trip. Do you think... This maybe is a daft question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Do you think you're better people for having done it?
This is Devin. I definitely think so. You know, leaving on the trip, I wasn't sure, like, especially, you know, being a novice sailor at best at the time. You know, I wasn't sure if I was capable of it. I didn't know if I could do it, if I was going to last. Just completing the trip, it really just pushed my limits and... made me do a lot of stuff that I never even dreamed I could do or would do. And you know, I have a new whole set of skills, my Spanish is much better, and just my outlook on the world, I don't know, it's made you think about a lot of things going on this crazy, intense mission.
Everything that Devin said, I think I can agree with, but I take boat maintenance a lot more seriously these days.
Guys, thank you. Thank you very much for talking to Boat Radio. That's absolutely fantastic. Really great to speak to you.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.